Evernorth Health Services, we believe costs shouldn't get in the way of life-changing care. And we're doing everything in our power to make it possible. Behavioral health solutions that also keep your projections at their best? It's possible. Pharmacy benefits that benefit your bottom line? It's possible. Complex specialty care that cares about your ROI? It's possible. Because we're already doing it. All while saving businesses billions. That's Wonder made possible. Learn more at evernorth.com/wonder.
All right, here we are. A great big Sweet Valley hi to all hi. The sweeties out there.
Oh, I thought we were doing it twice.
I'm
hi.
That's fine.
I think it's Sweet Valley hi. Hi.
Okay, do you want me to take another run at it?
Please.
Okay, everyone, let's get ready for a great.
What is
big...
okay, everyone?
What do you want? Where do you want me to start?
I don't know. Just like not okay, everyone.
Let's get ready for a great big Sweet Valley. Hi.
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 And it's again Sweet Valley.
And okay.
Am I just supposed to be sitting back in the cut here like I'm in the waiting room, like some podcast?
I guess we could use some creative input.
Yeah.
What do you think? Like we're both floundering right now.
Yeah.
You got to lean into the high, you know, okay. It's like your brand.
But the issue is where is to start it, because I feel like I need to do a little bit of throat clearing, which is where the okay everybody came from, and mm-hmm, I do appreciate that mm-hmm. note, and I don't think it was right. But
you don't think saying okay everybody was right or the note?
I think you're right. That was a good note.
Yes,
saying okay everybody kind of went against the effect that I was trying to achieve.
What do they say in the 80s in California?
Some surfs up.
Yeah.
Hang ten.
But, ooh, I like bra.
I mean, I don't know if that was happening in the 80s yet.
Here's the thing.
What does Pac-Man say?
What does Bruce Pac-Man say? He says a lot of pretty weird shit.
I was thinking, waka waka? is that it?
That's Fozzie.
That's Pac-Man? Yeah, but Pac-Man, you know?
Waka
think
waka.
About him. Yeah. It's his sound, you know? I'm doing a hand gesture. That's not helpful.
I just searched Bruce Pac-Man quotes.
Okay, perfect. That's going to be really helpful. But listen, before you get too far down that rabbit hole, I want to say that I'm trying to avoid saying hello or a greeting because the greeting comes in the great big Sweet Valley high.
Oh.
Do you see?
Okay. So what if it's just a very, like, humble, like, salutations?
Okay. I think we're here.
Bring
humble
the energy
salutations.
From
okay.
low to high.
Okay. Humble salutations.
Sorry,
and a great big sweet.
We're still workshopping this. This is only the third episode of.
I like humble salutation verbatim. I was hoping that was the direction you were going to take it as a real literal note. Humble salutations.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's nice.
Okay. I think I've got this. I'm going to start low. I'm going to bring the energy up. Everyone's going to try to not interrupt me if I may. Ask that until I've said the first hi, and then we all come in on the second hi, and then we say our Sweet Valley names. How does that sound?
I don't have a Sweet. I wasn't assigned a Sweet Valley name.
Yeah, our Sweet Valley names.
Humble salutations and a great big Sweet Valley hi to all the sweeties out there. I'm Sweet Valley Jack.
I'm Tanner.
Oh, I'm Sweet Valley Marissa.
Thank you.
I wasn't assigned a Sweet Valley name. No one told me what my Sweet Valley name was.
We're joined today by the great Marissa Flaxbart. Thank you for joining us. You are an expert on the medium, and we realized that we were way, way in the deep end.
Oh, well, my goodness, thank you so much for those kind words. And I don't blame you. This is a scary book. This is a difficult, challenging volume.
It was good.
Yeah.
Full of intrigue, deception.
There's so much scheming.
I'll say the novel we read. We read a novel, it's called Sweet Valley High Number 3, Playing with Fire.
There was so much scheming that there was a scheme that happened early in the book that I kept waiting for it to come back when Jessica lied to Bruce Pac-Man about Todd cheating on Elizabeth.
Yes. Oh yeah, and they just
then
never,
I was like, when's that going to come back? And then it never did. And it was like it was too dense.
Yeah.
Also, a moment early on, some discord between the Wakefield parents that never pays off.
Oh right, yeah. Papa Wakefield does not respect Alice Wakefield.
and we're given a glimpse into her head. She is not liking that he's not interested in her career, but she's going to let it slide. And yeah. And that's all we hear about that.
Mm-hmm. Lots of so much intrigue that we couldn't even cover it all.
This is a novel. Well, we're just getting started here.
Sorry, I meant me and Francine.
Oh, I see. You and Francine. Yeah.
In the book.
It felt to me like it deviated from the format that we had gotten used to in the first two books, which is, you described it last week, Tanner. It's like Elizabeth is duped in some unpleasant way by Jessica. That's the format of books one and two, and then like gets her revenge.
But publicly embarrasses her.
My question for our expert is this a format that gets repeated, which is like Jessica makes foolish mistake that ruins her own life in a way that she's not aware of, and Elizabeth has to like rescue her from it?
Yes, that is a repeated theme of these books. Sometimes Jessica is a little bit more or a little bit less involved in the scheme. She's usually, there's not quite such a personality change as what she, this is so early in a series of books to have one of your main characters undergo such a drastic personality shift.
She bounces back at the end though.
Oh yeah, and it's so sweet, you know, you lose this Jessica, and much like Elizabeth, you're kind of happy that she's gone at first, and then you realize how much better it was before. Even the Jessica that you had such disdain for in the past, maybe I'm projecting a little bit.
No, it's so true. When Jessica like refines herself at the end, it's like, yes.
Yeah.
Thank God, you say. This was unbearable.
You go, girl. I've never said that before, but I yelled it when I was reading that part.
This was Kate William responding to the protest that Jessica was too mean. That was my read. And she was like, no, 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 listen, I'm going to take away mean Jessica and make her subservient, and you're going to be begging me to have
right,
her back.
Right. Although Jessica was certainly, she has her fair share of meanness that happens in this book, especially directed towards her sister and Robin Wilson.
Yeah, she's really awful to a character called Robin Wilson.
As is the book, I would say, and the author, yeah, and the really book, the series in general.
Yeah. Robin seems kind of like a dweeb, though. Like, she sort of fawns all over Jessica in a way. That's
and
like,
as is Tanner now.
Yeah.
You just got to pick a side, you know?
Yeah.
Well, it's hard when your only character trait is your body size, and even other people in your own world describe you as being a person who eats all the time, even though there's not really much evidence in the book.
Even the author of the book that you're appearing in.
Right.
So
it's not great, Francine or Kate.
Who's Kate? And this is the second time you've mentioned Kate.
Ah.
Tanner, come on. Us Sweet Valley experts, sorry, we Sweet Valley experts know who Kate is.
Ah, but only in the sense of who you're referring to, because the question of who is Kate really is a big question that I think remains unanswered.
Okay, I was
who
kind of fronting.
Kate?
I just saw that Francine doesn't.
Is it Pete?
That would be cool.
Does it say, oh, written by Kate Williams. Now I see it. Wait, Francine couldn't even get to book three?
She didn't even write book
Anne
one.
Wrote no. 35 books
this
before she
did. This is
the thing,
dipped. You guys. Take a look at those inside covers. They are all written by Kate William, according to those covers. From 1 to 100. Like, all they're written by Kate William. But Kate, I think she doesn't exist. That's my theory.
You think she's Francine or?
No,
I
think
Francine also doesn't exist.
You think no one's writing these books?
There was like a cabal of ghostwriters that were working in like an office and just churning out these books based on Francine's master story bible week after
what
week.
What if it's an AI?
In 1983?
Yeah. Didn't you see War Games?
Yeah. Haven't you seen Daryl?
That came out around then.
I think I might have.
Microsoft came out with this AI a few years ago, and they like introduced it to the internet, and it instantly became like very racist. So they decommissioned it.
I heard about that.
And I think that, maybe that's what happened.
That person could have
here.
Written the book. Yeah, yeah.
They're like, let's make a book and teach an AI how to write a book series. And then they're like, wait, this book series is very mean.
Yeah. Very mean. Yeah. Lots of shaming, slut shaming, body shaming. Everybody's white. Everybody's really pretty. Yeah.
We should describe this novel, I think.
Yes. How do we do it?
Can I say something real quick about Francine Pascal, as long as we're talking about her? In the E version of this book,
Ecstasy,
right at the beginning, there is just, did you guys read the letter? Did you have this letter from Francine?
Yeah.
She writes a funny letter,
Oh, and have you talked about this before?
Haven't talked about it before, I don't think, but she did write it last week as well. We didn't get around to talking about it, but I found it pretty odd.
Sort of her happy reading section.
But it's like at the beginning.
Well, and it starts with this, we'll call it Jessica-esque sentence. The minute I came up with the idea of Sweet Valley High, now 30 years ago, I knew it was perfect.
Jesus.
So that's nice. That's a nice way to start off your book. Like, oh,
well, that's why she doesn't
write
them. She's like, I came up with the concept. It was so perfect that I dare not like mess with that success, and I'm going to hand it over to.
So this
AI
brings into new light. There's a passage in this novel that struck me as odd, and we'll describe this book after this, hopefully. But tell me what you think of this. The following afternoon, Elizabeth rushed home from school as soon as classes ended. During her last period gym classes, she was playing tennis with her best friend, Enid. She'd had an idea for a short story. Elizabeth loved the special, excited feeling that came over her whenever inspiration struck, but she knew the idea would fade unless she got her thoughts on paper as soon as possible. No one else was home, and the solitude provided Elizabeth with the atmosphere she needed to concentrate. Retreating to her favorite overstuffed chair in the living room, she opened her spiral notebook and began to put her thoughts down on paper. The story was about a girl who kept making the wrong decisions in love. So, that's not a great idea for a short story, clearly, is it? It's a extremely unoriginal idea for a short story. My first thought is that this is Kate William or this cabal or this AI saying to Francine, I'm not going to give you my story ideas for free. You're getting this story.
Like, she's taunting her with them almost. Like,
and I can have brilliant ideas for short stories, but guess what? You're going to get this pablum.
Yeah.
I also like that they had to disappear Enid Rollins this week because they,
they didn't have room for
they
for
just
Weenie
couldn't
Rollins.
Pack her in.
She gets a mention in Eyes and Ears as Enid R, and that's it. That's about it.
And I think she's like she's visiting George somewhere.
Yeah, Weenie Rollins gets to take a break after last week. Man, she's like doing bennies with George and like running kids over.
Week.
Yeah, she. I mean, and she gets assaulted by her boyfriend basically in the car. I mean. Not to get too heavy.
What's
on
his name, Robbie?
Ronnie Edwards.
Ronnie, yeah.
Not cool.
God, these books are tense.
Ooh. Yeah, intense. So I wanted to offer you an opportunity to describe this novel, if you'd like.
Oh, my goodness.
And by opportunity, he means he's saddling you with describing the novel.
Okay, this is an opportunity that I did not know I had been waiting for, but I think I might be ready to do it.
Okay.
I do tend to get a little bit in the weeds. Yeah.
The bar is not high.
Yeah. No, that's fair. I do a bad job.
I am a very loyal fan of the Babysitter's Club. I have heard many attempts of, and mostly they're just great. So I'll try to live
up to the
very finest.
Specifically or?
That's what I meant. I meant yours specifically, Tanner. Yeah. Yeah.
That's fine. I mean, sometimes I do it, but I guess.
Are you going to grade me afterwards? Is someone going to grade me? Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay. Tanner, do you want to do the grading?
All right.
I will grade, but I'm going to warn you now. I'm a real Mr.
Russo.
What's this guy's name? Russo.
Now, you guys
real
do know.
Real hard ass. I expect the best from my students.
Mm-hmm. Now, do remember, and I hope the listeners will also remember, that normally what I like to do is take upwards of an hour to carefully discuss every detail. Yeah.
That's fine. You can do that.
So this is maybe like you're a kryptonite. You're the world's expert at taking an hour to describe a Sweet Valley High book, and we've brought you on and are trying to make you do it in 60 seconds?
I'm going to put that on my LinkedIn.
I think it was 90 seconds last week.
Okay, I'll give you 90 seconds.
Oh, okay. I'll take it. I will accept it.
All right. Okay. I'm going to put 90 seconds on some kind of a big bad clock.
Do you have like a Casio digital watch?
Oh, you should get one, Jack, for this.
Like one of those silver
Tanner,
ones?
Tanner, can you put 90? Oh, no, I can just do it on. I can
no,
do it.
No, why would I do it?
Why would you do it? Because it would be helpful is why.
Okay. You know, it would be super helpful for me to Google 90 second keto bread.
Okay, fine. No, it's fine. All right. Ready? Are you ready?
Maybe. Okay. Ready as I'll ever be.
Okay, I've got 90 seconds on this big bad clock. During those 90 seconds, I would like for you to describe every single thing that happens in this novel, starting now.
There's some kind of a dance competition happening, and Jessica and Winston are king and queen of some other dance that qualified them for this, but Jessica's uninterested in Winston because she just wants to attract Bruce Patman to her through her dancing. She's had a crush on him for a long time. Everybody knows Bruce Patman sucks, but okay. Jessica doesn't care, and Bruce Patman does dance with her, and he wraps his arms around her, and then they like are going to be dating, and she's really excited, but she knows that she's going to have to play by his rules because he doesn't like a lady that has a mind of her own. So they go to a party at Ken Matthews' house, and Elizabeth like walks in on them making out, or possibly more, in the woods. This is after Bruce has removed Jessica's bikini top in front of everybody in a lake. It's the horniest book ever. So then Jessica is in love with Bruce, and Bruce is really wanting Jessica to just kind of only do what Bruce wants to do, and all of her friends are noticing. Meanwhile, something about the droids, there's this mysterious man in red leather pants who's going to be their manager. Things cool. are going great. There's also there's a big chemistry test, and Emily Meyer, who is the bassist, or possibly, no, she's the drum player for the droids, is in the same chemistry class as Jessica. Jessica's going to cheat off of Emily Meyer, but Emily Meyer didn't study, so she fails the test. She complains to Bruce about it. Bruce doesn't want to hear about it, but he knows where Mr. Russo hides his tests. Jessica plants those tests in Emily Meyer's locker. No, she doesn't do it. Oh, man, that was not even, that was maybe half of the book. I could feel it happening.
Yeah, and like so far, nothing like, except for the topless thing.
As it was happening, I could feel it happening. You know, I could feel me. I could feel that, like, I don't really remember the story. I only remember the details.
You suddenly forget everyone's names, too.
Yeah.
Like, you think you've got all the names, and then, like, Jack's grilling you, and you're like, oh, God.
I can do the names. What I can't do is, like, what was this book about? It was about Jessica and Bruce.
What was their fake agent's name?
His name was Tony.
Tony.
It was Tony.
Yeah. Jesus, I don't remember his last name. Wow. No, I don't remember his last name. I have read this book three times now, so that could be part of it.
I loved this one.
Is it me, or was this one twice as long as the last one we read?
No, it's the same. I think you're just distracted today. Yeah, it's literally the same length as last time.
Wow.
It just felt longer.
I read these in 2 hours, and that has not changed.
Huh. Okay. No, it's definitely longer. It's significantly longer.
No, it's not.
The last one was 172 pages on my phone, and this one was 213.
Really? Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Oh, well, there's a lot to get into this week.
Yeah, it's a dense
well, and
book.
I didn't help with my solid, like, C+, B- performance there.
Well, don't you say that. Ask Mr. Russo.
Yes. Let's see. How much of the book did you cover? Probably about half.
Yeah.
Well, if I only did half of a test.
Okay.
That's 50%.
That's an F minus, I think.
Yeah, that's an F minus.
But if we're grading on a curve, I was the highest score in the class.
Oh, that's a good point,
and
too.
Technically the lowest as well.
Okay. Okay, got it. Wow,
I really thought I was going to
do better than that. I really did.
Yeah, sorry.
Jessica is being difficult this week, and the manner in which she's being difficult is that she can't see that Bruce Pac-Man is a controlling asshole and just does fucking bends over backwards to do whatever he wants, including like not being good at tennis and like quitting the cheerleading team.
Rally. And, like, his only interest is rally racing.
And he's cheating
on her. That's his true love. He's cheating on her with rally racing.
It's but that's not even an interest that he's willing to share with her. Like
it's such a weird thing to keep from her. Because it's like, what? It's not important. You know, she can come watch you race a car.
Yeah.
Bruce Pac-Man is such a weird man. We talked about him last week that he has like just real like Joker energy.
Yeah.
I captured a few. Can I say a few Bruce Pac-Man things?
Absolutely. Yeah.
Like the one that I didn't capture the quote, but like the rally racing stuff is great. He's just like, you can't come and watch me rally racing. It's like, it's fast and dirty. You won't like it. And she's like, I.
It's like when Miles asked me for like a bite of something. I'm just like, oh, you wouldn't like it.
Yeah.
You know, like, it's yucky. It's medicine.
He says the same thing to her about his father's parties. He keeps on telling her eventually as he grows a little bit tired of her, she wants to come to one of his father's parties. He's always saying that he's going to, and he tells her it will be boring. Like, yeah, really?
You're the richest guy in fucking Sweet Valley. I bet your father's parties are the bomb.
They're just at like a country club, though. How exciting could they be?
I think Jessica would kill at a country club party. But the thing is, they're not real, so it doesn't matter. That's why he's not taking them, because he's actually road racing.
The road racing? I guess he talks about the road racing in such a way that it's clear that it's real, but he's also canoodling with this red-haired woman.
Well, so actually that raises a question. I do want to read these Bruce Pac-Man quotes, but the novel is called Playing with Fire. It's unclear who's playing with fire and what the fire is. Question number one, is that what it means? Because he's canoodling with a red-haired woman? Is that why it's called Playing with Fire?
Euphemism. Yeah.
Yeah. Is that possible?
Maybe.
Okay, yeah. Question number two, is it the road racing? Mate, that's playing with fire.
I don't think there is fire in road racing.
Yeah, you're shooting fire out of your exhaust, you know?
Yeah, one of those is not a thing that happens.
Okay, that's definitely
maybe
a thing that happens.
I'll say maybe.
Okay, number three, I don't think this is it, but maybe Bruce Pac-Man is a fire drake?
That sounds right, or an elemental.
And Jessica's the one who's playing with fire.
Yeah.
Does that come up in later books?
That he's a fire what?
Drake.
Like a dragon.
Oh, sure.
I would say fire drake, but yeah.
Of course, a fire drake. Yeah, I don't know. Our connection must have been funny. Obviously, I would have known that you said the word fire drake. It doesn't come up. I guess I'll just say it doesn't. Okay. No, that doesn't come up, but maybe the books deserve a third close reading, and I was just missing it the first two times.
Okay. Fourth, maybe. I would make a case for fire drake, if I may. Because the Pac-Man family hoards wealth, which is something.
That that's what dragons do.
Dragons do.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's two pieces of evidence in this novel. Yeah. They're literally sitting on a mountain of gold.
Right.
And otherwise, it doesn't make sense, unless it's the redhead, but that's kind of
really
weird.
Good at tennis, too. And I don't know if that's a dragon thing, but.
Yeah.
Jack, your son loves dragons, so you tell me.
Can I advocate at all for Jessica maybe having some sort of fire? Like maybe Bruce is the one who is playing with fire.
Bruce is playing with fire.
Okay, so your stance is that Jessica's a fire drake.
Okay, that's interesting. Well, you've read these.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
And they're twins, so that would mean they both are.
At some point, Todd refers to her as the ice queen. So maybe she's an ice drake.
Oh, that would be playing with fire, to get a fire drake and an ice drake together.
Dangerous.
Yeah. That's very dangerous. It's very tough because Francine does a lot of metaphors. Let me read a few crazy things that Bruce Pac-Man says.
Yeah.
Please.
Okay. Here's one. They do a lot of kissing and canoodling, so cover your ears if you don't like that stuff, sweeties. Yeah. And Tanner,
my ears are covered.
We decided that we called them Valley Wags last week, but we called them sweeties in our first episode. Right. That's so much nicer.
That's much better than Valley Wags.
Valley Wags is terrible.
One of them is a term of endearment, and one of them is an insult. Yeah.
And also like a defunct Gawker blog from like 2010. Anyway, okay, listen, here's what Bruce Pac-Man says. That's for sure, baby. We don't have any problems, do we? He kissed her again, and this time she felt herself respond with rising passion. And Bruce's lips pressed against hers. She felt her power over him slip away. Bruce, in control and knowing it, broke the kiss and looked deeply into her eyes. But baby, you'd know in a minute if we did have a problem. How? By the empty space next to you. That's kind of a weird fucking thing, is that to say to somebody?
Yeah. He's got this way of saying things. He says something later on where he's like, she's like, maybe I'll go to the dance without you. And he's like, okay, well then I'll be curious whose arms will be wrapped around you next Saturday.
That's my next passage. Nobody tells me what to do, Jessica, he said angrily. And I don't feel like going to a stupid dance. So I'll go without you, she said, the old Jessica surfacing for a fleeting instant. His eyes bored into her. You do that, baby, and you just see whose arms you won't be in next Saturday night.
Yeah.
That's such an awkward construction.
I tried finding, when you emailed us earlier with the updated time, I tried to find a way to like work that into a sentence back to you, but I couldn't do it naturally. And then I was like, well, Marissa's on the thread too. She'll just like,
yeah,
she'll just see, think I'm weird.
You get the time wrong for our Zoom record and you'll just see whose podcast you won't be in.
Yeah. It's so whose you won't be in. Yeah. 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 Both of these things, though, I found they were very sort of next level mental manipulation strategies coming from, an experienced senior.
Bruce Backman is a senior. I don't know. The girls are not seniors.
They're juniors.
Okay. This is an important type of shit that.
Yeah. I'm glad I can bring you light. I thought Bruce Patman was a junior for a long time, too. So it's
Pac-Man.
Mistake to make.
It's Pac-Man. And you keep mispronouncing his name. Yep. It's Pac-Man. Okay.
Yeah, all right.
It's Pac-Man.
The yellow guy who eats the dots.
Yeah, right, right. That's what I thought we were talking about, too.
And you know he's a car, right?
I've heard about him being a car.
Yeah.
I've always wondered how, as a car, he's able to also drive a car.
Well, he doesn't drive. He drives them. Have you ever seen Cars?
It's like, oh, see, okay. That's the obvious answer, is that it's because... Yeah. It's like the cars in Cars. Yeah, yeah.
Yes,
yeah.
Yes.
I Jack, I know you have more quotes to read, or I imagine that you do, but I don't want to be too blue for your lovely podcast, but
okay.
As long as we're talking about the cars, mm-hmm. something that jumped out
from Cars
today was that at the end of chapter 3, the last sentence, Jessica hurries out of the kitchen and into the foyer to wait for Bruce and his slick, shiny black Porsche.
Yeah.
And while a Porsche can be both slick and shiny, the mm-hmm. decision to use both of those adjectives to describe the Porsche felt downright...
It's naughty.
...lurid. Yes. Yeah.
I think so, too. There's also a lot of, like, grabbing the stick shift that happens in this novel.
So naughty.
It's very naughty. And it's also, as you alluded to earlier, they're doing a lot of canoodling in the grass. They keep like falling into the grass. It is unstated where that goes, but it seems like Bruce Pac-Man is the type of man who thinks
Go. They keep like making out on beaches too. It's so unclear because it's like, yeah, I don't know. I was in high school and obviously I wasn't like canoodling anyone.
Yeah.
But obviously, like, I imagine like it was happening around me.
I think some people do.
Yeah,
some,
I think that happens. I think it's possible.
Is that what the implication is? Is Jessica and Bruce? Well, and then, but like the main tension for Jessica is like Bruce is pushing too fast, too fast.
But that also kind of fizzles out as a plot.
It does.
Like early on, that happens. Like they get together and he's like, "Let's jump in the pool and I'm gonna like take your fucking bikini top off in the middle of a like pool party." And she
surrounded
and she,
by your friends and family.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But then that never really goes anywhere. Like, the real problem is not that. The problem is that he, like, is being controlling.
Right. She wants to have some power over him, and she feels that she doesn't. But part of that, I think, is internal for Jessica. She is, she's so hot for him that she loses control near him.
She's extremely hot for Bruce Pac-Man.
Yeah.
Who isn't?
There's even a line where Bruce, it says something about Bruce taking whatever he wants from her.
Oh my goodness.
But then later on in the book, when it's the possibility is brought up that Bruce has been telling everybody that Jessica is, giving him whatever he wants.
Fast and easy or whatever.
Yeah. There's some real pearl clutching from Elizabeth, who is sure that that's not the case.
Yeah.
They've teed us up for some controversy in the next book, but it's not Jessica adjacent. It's Liz adjacent. Because apparently Elizabeth is going to nominate Robin to be in this high school sorority.
Beta Delta?
Yeah.
Pi Beta Alpha.
Pi Beta Alpha.
PBA.
Yeah, that's going to be an interesting one. I briefly want to just throw out the couple of references that Krantine makes to car theory in this novel, and then maybe we could take a quick break.
I
don't know if you guys captured any. Elizabeth couldn't keep from biting her nails on the way to Ken's party. She wanted to keep an eye on Jessica just in case her sister got too carried away. Turning to Todd, she snapped impatiently, "Can't you make this car go faster?"
Right.
Mm.
And why would you say that about yourself unless you were a car?
Right, exactly.
So that's pretty incontrovertible, I think.
I thought it was just the boys, but maybe it's the girls and the boys or cars.
Maybe she's talking about him. I mean, it's a weird way to refer to someone else.
I mean, unless they're a car.
I like the idea of the boys as cars because it would explain a little bit why the girls are able to be in the cars.
Well, okay. I also think it would explain this sort of like dancing around the sex because it's like clearly they're not having sex with cars, right?
Yeah.
I don't know. Have you seen The Counselor?
One could. I just don't think they are.
But they are getting inside them. So maybe for cars.
And that's sex for cars. If you everyone, sweeties, every
guys,
time you get in your car, you're having sex with your car.
It's very sexual for the car.
Yeah.
Well, and Todd drives both Wakefield twins up to Miller's Point, which is a famous makeout spot. So he's up there with twins. I mean,
this is bad news for everybody.
I imagine a lot of people have found out today that they're not virgins as they thought they might be. But it turns out you've been having sex with your car.
Every time you get inside your car.
Yeah.
And that's what sex is for cars. And maybe this is actually a good place for us to take a quick break.
Yeah, I think so.
I'm glad we discovered this together.
Yeah.
Hey, everybody. It's Jack again with a brand new update about the delightful family mystery mobile game, June's Journey. I have been making real progress solving puzzles and getting stuff to put on my cool estate in the fun world of mystery, danger, and romance that's conjured up by June's Journey, a game set in the roaring 20s about a daring young woman named June who's traveling to her sister's estate to uncover scandalous family secrets and customizing her own luxurious estate island in the process. Tanner, unfortunately, is still pretty convinced by the ad brief we were sent that he has actually been assigned on a real secret mission to uncover the killer of June's sister, Claire. The good news is that after some extremely frustrating conversations with the unbelievably patient people at the Central Connecticut Steamship Authority, I was able to clear up the fracas regarding the steamship that Tanner rented. But the bad news is that, if I'm reading this hastily scrawled missive correctly, he appears to have gotten himself horribly lost in a hedge maze in Würzburg, which I think is in Germany. According to the secret code on the back of the letter, which to be clear, he's just written this part upside down, he is in good spirits and he is hot on the tail of Grandma Heath, and I shouldn't worry, but could I please send him 40 ducats in an unmarked envelope so that he can bribe the butler, which sounds both complicated and questionably legal. I'm going to keep you guys posted on this, but in the meantime, you can discover your inner detective just like I have when you download June's Journey for free today on iOS and Android. I have to go. There is apparently a carrier pigeon at the door with a new message from Tanner.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's kazoo concert in Kansas City, go Kevin, or Becky's bachelorette bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
I know we just talked a lot about the boys being cars and how every time we all get in a car, we're having sex with the car. But set that aside for a moment and let's imagine, it's going to be hard, but let's imagine the Sweet Valley universe where all the boys are boys. Uh-huh. And all the girls are girls, and they're all humans. With normal human genitals.
Okay.
Okay.
Perfect. Okay.
Outside the box, but I'll accept your premise.
I'm going to read you several passages, and I want you both to kind of find the common theme.
Okay.
"You're some dancer, Bruce," Jessica whispered breathlessly. "A big improvement over Wynn, especially on these slow numbers." "Glad you noticed, baby," he murmured sweetly. "Anyway, slow dancing isn't really dancing." "What do you mean, Bruce?" "It's just an easy way for a guy to get his arms around a girl."
Okay.
And then a moment later, "Oh, is that the only reason you picked me to be your partner tonight?" Jessica pretended to pout. "It's a good reason, and I do have my arms around you."
Okay. Mm.
With that, Jessica floated into the waiting arms of Sweet Valley's most desirable boy.
She's floating again. She did that last week.
She is floating, yeah. "I was on the girls' swim team in junior high," she reminded him proudly as she swam to a point where the water was no longer above their heads. They both stood a bit apart from each other. The shock of the cool water had done little to ease the tension within Jessica. Only the touch of Bruce's arms, she realized, could soothe her now.
So he's just like putting his arms on her.
Let me see. She was lying wrapped in Bruce's arms, and she barely turned her face from his. It was clear that she would have needed a crowbar to pry her sister from Bruce's arms. It took her breath away, leaving her helpless in his arms.
Yeah.
He responded by turning his face to hers and kissing her hard, his arms crushing her again.
Did he kiss her arms?
Enjoying
it's implied.
The comforting sensation of being enveloped by his arms. He threw himself into Bruce's arms. Jessica threw her arms around Bruce's neck.
Just see whose arms you're not in.
Oh, yeah, that's what he said.
Yeah.
Just think about whose arms you're not going to be in next week.
Let's assume for a moment that the boys are boys, the girls are girls, and they all have normal genitals.
Yeah.
I think that there is quite a bit of evidence that, just like in the Babysitter's Club books, the main mode for physical affection in the Sweet Valley High universe is arm stuff.
Arm stuff.
Counterpoint.
Yep. Yeah, please.
May I? And
I'm eager
Marissa,
to hear
you
it.
Can be Judge Judy here.
Real.
And
Hannity and Combs here.
Okay, I can't wait.
Can I be Combs, I guess?
Aren't you dead?
I know. I'd still rather.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, here we go. Counterpoint. I'm going to read a couple of passages from this novel.
Okay.
Ooh.
"But Bruce pushed her back ever so slightly. In dancing, at least, the guy still takes the lead. His meaning wasn't lost on Jessica. She'd have to be less aggressive if she wanted to keep him interested. Then I'll follow wherever you lead," she said with uncharacteristic submissiveness. Bruce nudged closer and rubbed his hand approvingly over the nape of her neck.
Okay.
Okay, here's another one. "Jessica ran her fingers through Bruce's dark, wavy hair, delighting in its soft, silky feel. Bruce answered her by kissing her more and more deeply, exciting every nerve ending in her body. Jessica pulled herself even closer, rubbing her other hand in small circles at the nape of Bruce's neck."
Okay.
Hang on, I got two more for you.
Yeah, I'm starting to, the picture is coalescing.
"You mean to tell me my girl's more interested in Mr. Chemistry than in me? What about our chemistry?" That's cool to say, actually.
That is cool.
"I thought I knew you better, Jess." She sighed. "Oh, Bruce, you know how I feel about us." Then, her fingers lightly caressing the back of his neck, she continued, "And finally, now it's Todd Wilkins. Todd took his time driving up to the top of the hill overlooking Sweet Valley. He pulled off to the side of the road about a half mile from Miller's Point, the flat promontory that served as a local necking spot."
Okay.
Mm.
And by necking spot, they mean hands on
neck. That's what necking is. I always wondered what necking was. It's when you put your fingertips.
You caress the nape of the neck.
Circles.
So maybe arm stuff in the Sweet Valley High universe, arm stuff is like foreplay because it's like you're not quite getting the hand on
your neck. Nape play.
Well, an important element of the arm, one might argue, is the hand.
Okay.
You know,
I would say it's an entirely different entity.
I think that both things can be true. You know, if the arm without the hand is not much, and the hand without the arm is powerless.
It's, it's so interesting to think about, because it's like saying, it's like saying the head is part of the body, which is like true, you know, but it's like,
I would say that is true, yes.
But also, like, the head is its own thing, right?
Yeah, yeah. It's a, this is a true paradox that we have concocted. I can't believe no one else has thought of this.
Is a hand part of the arm? Yeah, obviously. Well, if you lose your arm, you're not like, oh, I lost my hand and my arm, you know? It's covered. It's covered with just arm.
I wonder, Tanner, let's sidebar here. And what do you think? Should we let Marissa finish her thought? Or
I think let's get to the bottom of this first.
Well, I think the thought might actually help, because I just want, really all I want to do, the reason I bring up the point is that I do feel that if we can include the hand as a part of the sort of sexual anatomy, if you will, I wish I hadn't said that sentence.
Of a car?
Because I'm realizing, no, don't go back to car on me now. I feel that one could argue that this is one of the true purposes of the hand. But anyway, let me read my passage before I dig myself any deeper into this murky territory. Bruce traced the outline of her mouth with his fingertip.
Interesting.
The results of my examination show you need some mouth-to-mouth resuscitation. Jessica moved closer. I'd say your diagnosis is right on the mark, Dr. Patman. I'm sorry, Dr. Pac-Man.
Yep.
Shall we begin the treatments?
Finger play.
So there's lips and
finger play might exist.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, you know what it is? It's sexy to rub your arm. I'm going to kind of draw a happy medium here. It's sexy to rub your arm appendages on someone's lips, because you know it's like so arm adjacent.
I'm sorry, but if you're, Marissa, if you're saying a finger is a part of an arm,
I mean, that's what I'm proposing. But get this. What is opposite on the head from the mouth? Think about your head.
Nape.
Nape.
That's what the nape is.
No, I got this.
If you put a finger through your mouth, it would come out on the nape. Come on, think about it. And also, what are fingers if they're not arms on your arms? And think about that.
Little arms.
They're little arms on your arms, and everybody knows that.
Did Hannity and Combs ever have a third guy?
They needed, if tonight's conversation is any indication, they definitely needed someone to step in and just sort of sort things out.
Okay.
Interesting stuff.
Anyway, there's lots of different kinds of fun sex happening in Sweet Valley High. Girls on cars, arms on arms, hands on napes, fingers in... I don't even remember. What was he sticking his finger in?
I think you put the finger into someone's mouth, and then it kind of comes out through the nape.
The nape, right? The opposite of the mouth.
Try that Marissa's at home. Point.
A lot of people like that. I'd like to introduce a very brief segment, if I may.
Yep.
Please.
It's called... And you're involved in this, even though it doesn't sound like it, Marissa.
Who, me?
It's called... Nope. Jack and Tanner.
Oh my God, why she come out here with this crane on like she at an arcade?
Fashion expert?
Why you ain't got no shoes on? Girl, no. All them sweaters.
Ooh, we're experts now.
I gotta say,
I read some fashion passages in this book, and I would... Expert feels generous.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think for what's about to happen, but...
I'm excited to hear what you guys have highlighted, because there are a lot of clothes.
Are you pretty comfortable with the fashion in these novels? Is it something that you dwell on? Is it something that you consider yourself an expert on?
It's a huge perk of reading the books is getting to visualize the fashions and to just hear them described, because sometimes they're truly outrageous, much like another 80s character.
Tanner, that's a Gem reference.
Oh,
yeah, that was a Gem reference, yeah. Thanks, Jack.
I love Jim. I thought you meant He-Man, because his outfits are...
I mean, to be honest, what He-Man wears is truly outrageous.
Yeah.
Jack, can I ask you a He-Man... Yeah. Can I ask you a He-Man fact with Wee-Man Jack?
Yeah, this is a segment that's called He-Man Facts with Wee-Man Jack, and let's just do it
I'm
going to
hang back and watch.
I was at Target earlier today, but buying...
And you saw a delightful pair of, like, furry Speedos.
No.
And a,
no, I was walking by the toy section, and I saw an end cap display that had a He-Man figurine of a character called Skele-God. And he looked like Skeletor, except pretty imposing. And I was wondering what you knew about Skele-God.
That's new to me. Well, there's a new She-Ra series.
I don't think it had anything to do with the She-Ra.
Okay, well, I've never heard of that. That's terrifying to me.
Skele-God figure target. Masters of the Universe, Masterverse, oversized Skele-God. I would like you to do a little research on this and fill me in on the lore next time we talk.
Okay, next time we talk. In the meantime, I'd like to talk about some of the fashion of this novel. It's really interesting. They do some really interesting stuff with fashion. Francine and Kate are really having a lot of fun with the fashion in this book. Here's one that jumped out at me. She had a dress over one arm, and that's arm stuff, but it's also, what was the dress we talked about last week? Not the sweater dress, but the, it's like a off-the-shoulder dress, which is, Marissa, you probably know this, but it's a dress that you, like, attach to, like, epaulettes and, like, hang back like a cape.
Oh,
it's called it's called an off-the-shoulder dress. Mm-hmm. So a dress over one arm is, like, a version of that, but it's just, like, on one side.
I think cape might feel too masculine, so, like, they've...
Yeah, it's called an off-the-shoulder dress.
Okay.
Yeah. She had a dress over one arm. Look what I bought today. She held it up. It was a black crepe de chine dress with a low-cut front and back.
Is that French?
Isn't it beautiful? It's French. So crepe in French means pancake.
Okay. And chine?
How is it spelled?
C-H-I-N-E.
Oh, okay. I was hoping it
Chinese,
was
Chinese pancake.
Chinese pancakes.
It's like it's like a scallion pancake. I've had those before.
And they were so good.
Chinese restaurants. They're very good. And that's what she's wearing?
Yeah.
But black.
And she's wearing it over her arm. Like, she's not even... So she's like, if I can say this, is probably nude.
Right.
And she's got this crepe dress.
You know, if you think about it...
Draped over her arm. It's the cutting edge
of
fashion.
In a way, cars are nude all the time. So it would make sense that, like, in this universe where cars and women are sort of courting one another, the women would be mostly nude, too. So
that was an interesting choice, I thought.
Yeah.
Crepe de chine.
Crepe de chine. Did you catch any more? I have a couple more.
I've got one other, but let's hear one of yours.
Oh, you know what I did? Do you want to know what I did, Jack?
Yeah, I'd love
I captured that one, assuming you would capture the other one.
Okay, I've got the other one. You want to hear it? Dressed in a bright blue skin-hugging mini dress and matching tights. Jessica was an eye-catching sight. The outfit accented her long, shapely legs and brought out the blue in her sparkling aquamarine eyes. Skin-hugging mini dress. Skin-hugging.
Like a face-hugger.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking of, too. Yeah.
From Alien.
Like, whose skin? It doesn't say.
The one dude. Then the guy comes out of his... The alien comes out of his chest.
No, in this. Whose skin is the dress hugging? No, not from Alien.
Okay.
This passage. It's a bright blue skin-hugging dress.
Well, could it be hugging her face skin?
Yeah, there's skin on your face.
Yeah, and that's from Men in Black.
Is it?
Yeah.
I don't remember that.
Yeah. Yep.
Good.
Yeah.
Well, I have one.
You had a fashion expert.
This is more. I just want you to think about it.
Uh-huh.
Remember, I mentioned for some reason in my recap, I thought it was important to mention a mysterious man in red leather pants.
Oh right.
Yeah. Yeah. So this is a B plot. Well, briefly, there's a B plot in this one, and the B plot is that the droids have like a new manager, and so Elizabeth in her eyes and ears column is gonna write up their like rapid ascent to stardom
in a series,
and she follows them to a bunch of like pretty seedy gigs at like bad dive bars, and then it turns out the manager was kind of a fraud. I think
he just wanted to hook up with Dana.
Yeah,
the bass player.
One might call him a pedophile.
Oh, one sure. Might. These are children.
I think
aren't
quite
they?
Reasonably. Mm-hmm. Yes,
you forget that sometimes when you're reading this book,
he
but they are children.
Did.
Aren't they?
You kind of want Francine to spell it out for you, but she doesn't, does she?
Yeah.
But before we learn that piece of information, there's just something about the phrase "the mysterious man in the red leather pants," which is a direct quote from the book that I thought might appeal to you gentlemen.
Yeah. To the fashion expert.
Yeah, Jack's been described that way before.
It's a lot like The Curious Case of the Dog in the Nighttime.
What is that, a magical realism poem?
It's a book.
It's a book.
Yeah. Okay. The Mysterious Man in the Red Leather Pants.
It would be a good title.
It's either Michael Jackson or Eddie Murphy.
Thinking about it, the way that it's described, and tell me if this is wrong, but it sounds like they're like extremely oversized pants, and there's, if you look in them, there's like a man in there. Kind of like a toy in the Cracker Jack.
Oh, like
spot.
Deep within the pants.
Right? That I think that's the only
he's
way.
He's living
that,
within the pants. The pants
he's living inside the pants. Yeah. There's a mysterious man in there.
Yeah.
Which is interesting. And I guess, I don't know, Francine didn't dwell on that.
What
but
kind
that's
of cow makes red leather?
Red cow.
Mm-hmm. That's interesting. Yeah. Yep. No, you're right there. Yeah. And that's actually the mystery solved.
Yeah.
But there is a moment, just to further this character's lore, there is a band that he famously managed in the past that is what makes the band, Sweet Valley High's own rock band, The Droids, be so willing to take a risk with this mysterious man. And that band was called August Moon and the Savage Six.
Okay. I see what you're doing.
Yeah.
Vibe check.
Vibe check. Yeah, so this is a segment we call Vibe Check. 1983.
Autumn Moon.
August Moon.
August Moon. It feels sort of...
And Savage...
They're two different bands, right?
Oh. No, it's one band.
Oh, it's one band?
Because...
That's quite a name.
Look where they are now, is what this character continues to say.
Well, they is a...
That could be either one, yeah. That's
pronoun.
True.
I think it's Husker Du.
Husker Du. I feel like it's got sort of like a folk pop vibe to it. Who's doing folk pop back in 83? Anyone?
Paul Simon?
I don't think it was... you think Simon. It's Paul Simon?
Yeah.
Paul Simon and Ladysmith Black Mambazo?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. If they were
and that's
a band,
long name,
yeah.
too. Like August Moon and whatever.
Yeah, I think August Moon has a little bit of a Ziggy Stardust kind of David Bowie feel to it.
You seem like you're feverishly Googling, Jack.
I'm just looking up 1983 in music.
John Denver had a big year in 83. Sort
it's of too cool. It's too cool.
They mention New Wave a bunch in this
right.
movie.
Oh, right. Bruce doesn't like it when Jess dresses in
new wave
fashion. He says it looks cheap.
This is also continuing the fashion discussion because Jessica puts on an outfit from the Boston shop. It's like a brown wool blazer and an Oxford shirt, and it's a different look for her, but not new wave. That's one thing that we know.
No. Yeah. It was like a black and white, like loud skirt that Elizabeth wanted to borrow from her. That was the new wave look. Feels very ska.
It could be ska.
Oh, well, the man in the mysterious red leather pants. Oh, wait, the pants are not mysterious. The man is mysterious. He was wearing a matching skinny tie, knotted loosely over his white shirt.
Okay, so he's like a ska. He's like a rude boy.
Okay, that makes sense. I think that's the vibe.
Okay.
Jack, can I introduce a segment that's a favorite of yours?
Okay, perfect, yeah.
Let's call Compliment of the Week.
Oh, that's so nice. Aww. Yeah, it's a compliment.
It's a self-compliment that Elizabeth does to herself. Eyes and ears. The halls are buzzing with the news of a hot and heavy thing going on between Leela F. and a certain blonde football player. Chalk one up for Leela. Three cheers for Lois W. John P. showed up at her party. Guess sometimes dreams do come true. Bill C.'s found another surf bunny. Enid R's packing up her suitcases for another weekend visit with GW, fourth in a row, but who's counting? Kara W has her eyes on a basketball playing senior. Maybe she can get him interested in something besides dribbling. Danger, Tony J is now on the roads. Pedestrians beware.
Because he's a car.
Yeah, right. Elizabeth sighed with despair after giving her latest column for The Oracle a final read. It seemed to her that it lacked its usual punch. Had her writing gone stale, she wondered? No. The breezy copy was as fast-paced and readable as always. So that's sort of an assessment of her own work. Yeah. And, you know, I think you have to be a fan of your own work.
Something's off about this thing I've just written. It's still breezy and accessible, as it always is.
You definitely had a breezy time reading it, Tanner, just now.
Yeah. It's kind of fun to read. I like the eyes and ears column.
God help me. I knew she was talking about. Like, oh, yeah, yeah. Lois Waller had a crush on John Pfeiffer? I didn't know that was happening.
Whoa. You deciphered. You're like, you can read through, like, the blind items.
I don't know who Tony is.
Exactly.
I don't know who Tony is.
He's the guy with the little tie.
Yeah, he lives inside a red large pair of pants.
He lives in his pants.
Yeah.
Oh, well, if he's also a high schooler who just happens to manage bands in L.A., then we can take back the pedophile thing.
Okay, perfect.
We solved
he's
it.
He's redeemed.
Marissa, you teased for us during the break that you have some insight into the title of this novel.
Oh,
yeah.
Well, I just wanted to reveal kind of a fun secret that I found about the phrase playing with fire. Okay. And it is that it is just a really great book title. It's so great that when you search, let's say, your Amazon Kindle thing for a book called Playing with Fire because you want to read the e-version of it and make notes, that a list of, 10, 20, 30, 40 books called Playing with Fire is your result. None of them are from the Sweet Valley High series. And I just thought maybe I could read a couple of these titles so we could think about some other directions that Playing with Fire.
Yeah, I had a very similar problem on the iBook store.
Cool.
I find this book.
Well, I'll just read a couple from the first 10 to 20. Playing with Fire, a bad boy college romance. Playing with Fire, a modern investigation into demons, exorcism, and ghosts.
Combine those two and you've got a hell of a book.
Playing with Fire, financial independence, retire early. How far would you go for financial freedom?
We'll skip that one, I think.
There was a book that was called Playing with Fire that was part of a series called Grove Valley High. And I thought that was a little bit bold of that author to make that decision. Grove Valley High, Playing with Fire.
Wow.
Yeah. I have an idea for the three of us.
Yeah.
It's a new podcast. It's called Playing with Fire. And what we do is each week we read a new book.
A new book called Playing with Fire.
Playing with Fire.
That's frankly a genuinely good idea.
Can we read Playing with Fire, the true story of a nurse, her husband, and a marriage turned fatal?
Ooh, yes.
Okay. I'm excited about that one.
Playing with Fire is a weird choice for a book about a nurse. Can't she be a firefighter?
Maybe she's
That's
both.
That's a good point. Can we write a review? Yeah.
Let's fire up the review music. Marissa, you're already in there, right?
Yeah. Sounds great. Did you guys have any burns?
Oh, yeah.
We've got burns,
yeah.
And that's Playing with Fire. And it's our... And it's where we talk about our burns, and we say burns that happen in the book. And there are some burns in the novel. It's kind of a big burn on... It's like a big building burn on Bruce Pac-Man.
Ooh, that was some nice alliteration.
I don't know how this keeps happening, but he ends up getting dunked in like a pool. And it's like, I've only read three of these books, and it's happened twice now.
Everyone always gets dunked in a pool at the end of these novels.
When did he get dunked in a pool?
How does this keep happening? Well, at the Luigi's Pizza.
There's a pool there?
It's like a fountain.
Oh, okay.
He like stumbles back into a fountain.
He gets a lot of, he gets pizza in the face and then an entire pitcher of soda poured right over his head.
Been there.
Can I do my burn first? Because I'm not even sure it's a burn.
Okay.
I think it might be. It's phrased like a burn, but I don't know enough about 1983's Tennis to.
Okay.
I had this one.
Just brushing up on my game, Bruce, Jessica said. Pleased with her shot, Bruce was a very strong player, but she was confident she could hold her own against him. She couldn't hear what Bruce muttered under his breath, but she could see that the smile was now gone from his face. Again, he smashed the ball across the court, and again, Jessica's natural reaction was to hit it back, perfectly. "Who do you think you are, Chris Evert Lloyd?" Bruce yelled across the net. It was clear he didn't mean it as a compliment. And it's not clear to me.
So that's Francine is signaling that this is her big burn.
Very clear that this is intended to be a burn.
She's like, "Oh, I got to put a burn in this. Hang on."
Chris,
who do you think you are? Chris Evert Lloyd.
And Chris Evert Lloyd, if you're listening.
Yeah.
Let us know. I don't know if that's a burn or not.
I think that Jessica would have accepted it graciously as a compliment if Bruce had said it in a different tone of voice, you know? So sometimes it's okay. All about the tone of voice.
Yeah.
Chris Everett Lloyd. Well, I can tell you your net worth.
Okay. Let's hear that, and then we'll move on to Marissa's burn.
$16 million.
Okay. Perfect. Thank you.
Yeah.
I think I'm going to go ahead and read a burn that is a little bit of a self-burn by Robin, a character that... Are you guys going to read book 4, Power Play?
Probably.
It sounds like we're, you know, we've got a few weeks before we do our big romance podcast.
And for the hens
so right now I'm really enjoying Sweet Valley High book, so I think we're going to read Power Play.
So I'll just say... So if you guys continue on to read Power Play, you'll get a big dose of Robin Wilson in the next book. But in this one, we're just kind of setting up that she is involved in the Wakefields' lives a little bit. So Jessica has told Robin at one point in this book that she's going to sort of fix her up with Winston Egbert, that Winston is really into Robin. This is a lie that Jessica has made up mostly to get them both out of her hair is her goal, I think. Yeah. But
and Elizabeth's not that nice about it either.
She at least tries to be like a civil human being. Like when Robin shows up at the Wakefield house because Jessica was going to like go to the mall with her or do a makeover or something like that, Jessica's not home. Of course, she's out with Bruce. That's where she always is. And Elizabeth, when she finds out about this whole Winston thing, this lie that Jessica has told Robin, she says, oh, I think Winston has a crush on Jessica, actually. Like, I don't think that's true, even despite what Jessica told you, Robin. I'm so sorry. And she says, the last thing you want is a boy on the rebound. No, Robin hedged. You're wrong, Liz. You mean you think he's definitely over Jess? Elizabeth asked. No, said Robin, smiling. I mean, I'd definitely take him on the rebound. We both laughed.
That's good.
I like Robin. Yeah. I like Robin. She's a winner.
It
in
feels
this,
like
in
I think she's
novel.
Owning it. I don't know. If, yeah. Like, I suppose it's a self affirm, but it also just feels very like I don't know. It feels very affirming to me.
Yeah.
I guess.
She's just like, yeah. You know what? I know who I am. I know what I like.
Yeah. I was going to ask you how things go with Robin, but I shouldn't because we're going to find out next week. It's going to be a pretty Robin-centric novel. I'm sure everyone's going to be really nice to her.
Get ready to learn for your fashion segment what a tent dress is. It's going to get talked about a lot.
I mean, I actually already have a pretty clear idea, I think.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
That'll be fun for you guys.
Okay, here's a burn. This is the burn that kind of ends the novel. What happens is Jessica just can't be, like, persuaded that Bruce is two-timing her and is also a fucking asshole and is, like, controlling her. And Elizabeth does her best, but eventually they're able to... Todd. I'm not loving Todd.
Yeah, Todd's sort of was a little bit of a loser.
Seems like kind of a loser.
I just get excited in this book every time he says something honest about Jessica.
Oh, yeah. He's like, finally revealing... how much he hates Jessica.
Yeah.
Like, at some point he was like, hater or hater or something like that, you know? Like,
he uses the word hate for sure to describe his feelings for Jessica.
Can you imagine my sister waiting for a boy to call, says Elizabeth. Not the Jessica I know and hate, says Todd.
Jessica I
mean,
know
that's
and hate.
Hilarious. Yeah.
That's good.
And God bless him for putting up with Elizabeth's total lack of willingness to go along with any of his jabs on her sister.
But Todd and Elizabeth eventually kind of team up to trick Jessica because, like, Bruce Pac-Man is, like, at Guido's, and he's like, hey, everybody, my grandma's sick. I think Jessica has to go home because I obviously also am.
It's his 18th birthday party, too, by the way. We didn't mention that he was having a party at the country club. He told Jessica it was going to be a romantic night, but then pretended that the party that he wanted to have all along was a surprise for her.
You know what, though? To your point, Marissa, he's doing the responsible thing. He's 18. She's 17. He doesn't want to be a pedophile, so he's like... I'm going to send you home. I'm going to have sex with this older woman.
Okay, well, that's one way to read it.
Jessica falls for this. Todd and Elizabeth conspire to have her realize what's going on. They drive around and then bring her back to show her.
They don't even drive around. They drive to the top of a hill and look at, and like Todd makes some stories. He's like, oh, I need to see
suddenly
cheaper
become
in
interested
the night
sky. In astronomy. Yeah.
It's like, how long could that possibly work? You know, it's like, why don't you drive me home?
Yeah.
And then go look at Jupiter.
Eventually, Jessica does catch Todd.
She catches Bruce. Because right. Elizabeth knows that this is what's happening. She's just sure, yeah. Like, I'm going to catch him. So she gets Todd to drive them all back. She pretends that she's left her keys at Guido's.
Jessica marched up to the table. Well, well, I see I'm not the only one who had a mad urge for another slice of Guido's pizza. Bruce's face turned white at the mere sound of the voice. Jessica, what a pleasant surprise. I'd like you to meet, I don't know how to say this name, Aline?
That's what I'd say.
A-L-I-N-E. Aline Montgomery. Aline Montgomery.
It's either that or A-Line.
A-Line is kind of cool, too. And that's like, that's what you take to get to.
I think that's a kind of dress.
To Bed-Stuy.
Exactly.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, true. Train and a dress.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I used to stop right by Jack's house.
I'd like you to meet A-Line Montgomery. She's a friend of the family. Friend? Jessica questioned. I'd say she looks more like a grandma to me. You did say you were going to meet your grandmother, Bruce. That's good.
Imagine how confused A-Line was during this entire interaction.
Yeah, she's like, I'm 23, but it's fine to be dating this 18-year-old, whatever. And then, like, some fucking random, like, junior shows up and is like, you look like a grandmother. And it's like, I guess that's a burn. But also, like, I clearly don't.
Yeah, well, you look like Chris Everett Lloyd. So. Now we're both confused.
Friends, we must leave, but I want to draw your attention to something that shocked me to my very core just as I was closing this novel. May I do that?
Please.
Please. Oh, yeah, please. I was giving you space.
Me too.
I finished the novel.
Me too.
And I guess I was checking to see if there was like another happy reading or something.
Yeah.
And
we've been conditioned.
My eyes happened to fall upon the back matter.
Excuse me?
The back matter. It's a technical term for the stuff at the end of the book.
But?
It's not but. And I read the following thing. May I read it to you? Playing with Fire. Copyright. 1983 by Francine Pascal. All rights reserved. For information, address, St. Martin's Press.
Okay.
175 Fifth Avenue.
Okay.
New York. So isn't that interesting?
She found her way. She wormed her way into these books too, didn't she?
Oh.
Annabelle
Martin's Press did this one.
Wow.
That's interesting.
I didn't even know she had a press.
Wow.
Well, you know,
in like a press, like an old timey, like letter press.
Yeah. So St. Annabelle Matthews Martin has her fucking paw prints all over this.
Yep.
You guys,
maybe that's who Kate Williams is. Kate, what's her name?
Kate Williams.
Williams is right. Yeah.
That's who Kate Williams is.
Yeah.
It's St. Martin.
It's Anne.
It's Anne did this. And have you mentioned that in your podcast?
No, I mean, my mind is blown right now. You guys, I have been to St. Martin's Press.
Okay.
Was Anne there?
We
met Anne too.
I didn't know if she was there, but maybe I'm thinking that maybe she was there in the sense of like her spirit was there. Or like her.
Oh, yeah. She does that. Yeah. She does that.
I had no idea. So I kind of feel like the whole last 10 to 15 years of my life might have been like in some ways a lie. And that is, you know, something that's going to take some time to get used to, I think.
Yeah. That's what we do here.
Yeah.
Okay.
Sorry to shake your entire foundation.
I wish I'd known that before I agreed to appear on your show.
Okay.
Well, this has been very cathartic. Thank you so much for joining us. I would like to thank the Sweeties very much for bearing with me.
I would like to thank the Valley Wags.
Okay, well, Tanner, I would like to thank you very much for bearing with me. Marissa, I would like to thank you very much for bearing with us. I would like to remind everybody that they must, in fact, subscribe to our Patreon, which is patreon.com/BSCCpodcast.
Marissa, Flaxbart, what else should they?
Sure. Well, I wanted to thank you, Jack, that way back when you, Jack and Tanner, appeared on my podcast, Sweet Valley Diaries, where if you want to hear, even more of me talking about playing with fire, you can go way back to the early days of my podcast. I don't know if you guys have listened to the third episode of your podcast, but I did that today. I listened to the third episode of my podcast, which was, you know, it had its ups and downs, the experience.
The truth about Stacy would be us, number three. Is that right? Number three, truth about Stacy. Does that sound right?
Sounds right. Yeah. Chrissy's okay. Great idea. Yeah. Claudia and the Phantom Phone Calls, truth about Stacy.
But yeah, we got a whole show. Sweet Valley Diaries is a whole podcast. And on the podcast, ever since you appeared and suggested a name for the listeners of Sweet Valley Diaries, the name Gladiators, I have fact referred to the listeners of the show as Gladiators.
And remind us what the context was.
Well, it's understandable that you would ask that question, Tanner, because it almost never comes up in these books. But the Sweet Valley High mascot is, in fact, the Gladiator.
The Gladiator.
It is mentioned in this novel. It comes up in this novel.
Almost never comes up, strangely. There's so much sports. There are whole books about sports. And it's like they forgot to read that chapter of Francine's Bible. But it's hidden between the lines of that story that I just told is the name of my podcast, Sweet Valley Diaries, where we're now up to, I mean, as of this recording, the next episode is going to be at book 55. We've been doing a lot of these bad boys.
Wow. Yeah.
If you're not a gladiator, you must become one. Go and subscribe to the Sweet Valley Diaries podcast.
Oh, Jack, can I tell you what makes me so nervous?
Yep.
I know us.
Yeah.
I know how lazy we are.
Yeah.
And I'm just worried that momentum is going to carry us through and soon we're going to be on Sweet Valley number 55. Please tell me that that's not the case. We have to, it's Melissa.
Yeah, I mean, I live in fear. Ever since I first started listening to your podcast and mine already existed and you guys said that maybe you were going to do that in the future, I was like, oh shit, I hope that day never comes because they're going so much faster than me.
No, we'll move on. We're going to go to romance.
I mean, I'm excited as a listener to hear you guys talk about romance.
There is a sweet... Someone, maybe it was you, someone in the Facebook group drew our attention to a Sweet Valley romance book. Is that possible?
I don't think that it was me. I'm definitely, if I'm in the Facebook comments, it's definitely telling you guys to read anything else. But, you know, just... That's been my strategy, Lo, these past few years. But there is a very sexy Sweet Valley book that's part of the Sweet Valley Confidential book. I like to...
Sexier.
Yeah, a little bit more explicit. If you read it, be prepared to be scandalized, though. I don't even like to think of it as canon, what happens to these girls 10 years later. It's upsetting.
We've read some pretty explicit descriptions of fellatio and cunnilingus for
Looking forward to
our romance podcast. So I think we're well equipped for, you know, arm stuff and nape stuff.
I was actually referring more to the events of the book in story and what happens to old Jessica, Elizabeth, Winston, Bruce.
Ooh, does Winston get busy?
He sure doesn't.
That's burn of the week on Winston, like 20 years later. Still not happy before.
Boy. If you read it, you'll see just how big of a burn it is on poor Winston.
Everybody must go and subscribe and listen to the Sweet Valley Diaries.
Aw, thanks.
It's extremely important. Please do also buy our merch. bit.ly/BSCC merch.
Marissa, should they buy your merch too?
I don't have any merch, but if I ever have some merch, I would love for you to buy it. But for now, you can find Sweet Valley Diaries on Instagram. Is pretty fun. Follow.
It's not hard, people.
Really not.
All that remains is for me to say that this week we did read a novel. The novel that we read was called Sweet Valley High, number 3, Playing with Fire.
What is Sweet Valley U?
Tanner, now is not the time.
Sweet Valley University?
Now is not the time. You can imagine what it is. They probably go to college.
And it has the exact same name as their high school?
Next week, we're going to be reading a little novel, and that novel is probably going to be called Sweet Valley High, number 4, Power Play. Oh my God, Wanted for Murder, SVU? And it's called SVU! That's what SVU is? Okay, Special Marissa victims. Is holding up a novel. It says, SVU, Wanted for Murder. That's where they got it from! That's the show my mom watches.
And that's IP Freely. Yeah. IP Freely.
Wow.
They stole it. Law and Order.
All that remains is for me to say that this week I have been Sweet Valley Jack.
My name is Tanner.
I'm Sweet Valley Marissa Flaxbart.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
Goodbye. God, we still need an outro, huh?
Yeah.
For this one?
Yeah, we didn't have one.
So we had Sweeties in the first pilot episode. Do we have an outro in there too? Go back and listen, Jack.
It's too late, man.
Go back and listen and dynamically insert it.
Perfect. Okay.
Yeah.
Bye.
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 I've started recording. One, you start recording. Three, you suck at this.
One time there was a party at my house when I was in college, and I walked into my bathroom that I paid rent to go to eliminate in.
Okay.
And there was a couple having sex in there, and I yelled at them. I said, "Get out of my house, Jeff Mogab." That was his name.
Really?
The boy, yeah.
Why wouldn't you let him have sex in your bathroom? That's like nice that that's
poop.
Happening.
I only had one bathroom. It was like 200 people at a tiny house apartment.
Why are you pooping at a party?
It's my house.
This has been Mic Check.
Be Fairy.